Chasing Wild Horses by Edwin Isaacson Whiting. 50 years ago, horses were man's best, safest, and fastest means of transportation, except where there was railroad transportation. Cars were novelty, airplanes unknown, and a good horse was a man's pride. In my work as a young man on the range, there were times when my life depended on the stamina, intelligence, and common sense of my horse, and his failure could have been serious for me. Some men love their horses and their horses love them. It was my mare that carried Herbert Berry on the 20-mile run for the doctor, when John Whiting was cut on the mill saw. Judging a horse was an art. Some men were able to make a living horse trading, if they could judge the points of a horse. Things considered more important than racetrack speed were endurance, gait, disposition, trustworthiness, and dependability. Most of all, men depended on the horse for transportation. The chase. Wild horses are usually caught by the long, slow method of running them down. That is, we would take turns running them down. After locating them with our long navy spyglass, we made our plans. One rider would take them on a circle and as they came around, another would take them riding a fresh horse for another circle, until they were tired. Sometimes the circle they made was 75 miles or more in circumference, but they always came back. It generally took from 2 to 5 days to wear them down, and whatever parts of the night we could follow their tracks by moonlight. The longest run we ever had was 8 days. When they were tired enough, we all rushed in and roped one or more, if we could. Of course, wild horses would not accommodate us by leaving camp in the morning and returning in the evening, so we expected to stop wherever we were caught when night came, wait for daylight, and take up the trail until we could connect with a relief runner. It was necessary to travel as light as possible, as a horse having to carry a man was overloaded, so we rode with only a light saddle and rope. No water, food, blanket or coat. When night came we built a fire, and finished our circle the next morning. The Greer horses. Remember, I am talking about real wild horses. Greers had big herds of wild horses. They could round up as many as 2,000 head in a day from their herds, that ran wild the year round on their range. They made their living by catching, breaking, and selling those wild horses. Periodically they shifted in new stallions and brood mares. Their horses were among the best. In fact, a horse sold for more, if it was wearing the Greer brand, a T on the shoulder and jaw. There were wild horses throughout the West, but in most places drought or snow forced them down to where they could be caught, but the Greer horses lived and prospered the year round on their range. Each fall the Greers would round up and sell whatever they could catch. Each year, as the horses were gathered and sold, the wildest and fastest, and those with the most endurance and sense, would get away, so by the law of survival there were some wonderful horses left, when Greers decided to sell all they could catch, and stock their range with cattle. They were first-class horsemen with plenty of good riding horses, so whatever horses they did not catch were good horses. After 40 years in the business, when Greers attempted to liquidate, there were about 400 head of horses, too wild and too smart to be caught, then sold to ranchers. So we bought the 400 head remnant and they were something special. I like to relive my memories of the times we tried to catch them. Each time they got away they were smarter. They were a challenge to any lover of sport, but we never made much more money than we spent in trying to catch them. Most thrilling of all sports. I have hunted game all my life, and fished whenever I got a chance, but that doesn't compare to wild horse hunting. You shoot your game, look at your kill, and realize you never gave your victim a chance. Or hook a fish, and watch him struggle helplessly until he is dead. When I was a boy, before there were game laws, I killed a mother deer. As I started to dress her, two baby fawns walked out and stood by, looking so innocent, that I have never forgotten it. I wished I could give back the mother's life. With a wild horse chase, it's something else. I love and never miss a horse race. I am sure I get as much as anyone from the thrills of horse racing, but I say without hesitancy, that there is no race to compare with racing a wild stallion, a stallion running for his life and freedom, putting his all in a race. I wish I could describe the feeling of stalking him through the night and dropping on his trail to wait for daylight. Watching the stars in the stillness of night, one gets as close to his maker as he ever does on this earth. Wild stallions. As I have said, I have killed my share of game and caught my share of fish, which in a way satisfied whatever hunter's instinct we may be born with. I thrill at seeing tame horses race the prescribed mile and 1/8. I generally go to Pasadena for the Rose Parade, and to see the beautiful horses there. But that in no way equals the thrill of watching, racing, or catching a wild stallion. I marvel at the intelligence he displays watching and controlling his herd, always on guard so that it is impossible to catch him unawares. I have spent hours watching from some place of concealment, and I never cease to marvel. I can think of hardly anything I would rather do than watch one now. When we caught a stallion like that, he was not dead, he might have the qualities of a thoroughbred. You could look forward to a horse to ride, to serve you, to love and trust you, and you learned to love and trust him. Among the most famous wild stallions of that time were a brown stallion in Mesa Key Dando, a black around Rio Bonello, and a Palomino Alpine Springs Way. We used to talk about catching them, and finally did catch two of them. However, while they were famous, because they were older and had gotten away more times, they were too old to break well and were a disappointment. One of them killed himself, and the other seemed worthless and finally died, perhaps of a broken heart. We did learn many things about what horses do when left entirely on their own. Each stallion had his harem. He herded them, guarded them, fought for them, and led them away when the occasion required. From a vantage point, I watched a pair of stallions fight to the death. I shall never forget it. I have watched our movie cowboys shoot, run, whip, and act wild. I've watched Trigger, the smartest horse in the world, and watched the movie Wild Stallions, who are made to perform by someone jerking an invisible wire fastened to their lip. I have wished we could have movies of real wild stallions, as I have known them. As horses and horsemen grow less, rodeos and drugstore cowboys increase. Why couldn't we have had the rodeos and made the movies when we had the men and horses with the know-how?